You just declared what an idiot is, and that's me. So, anyway.
I've been meaning to talk to you about you being an idiot.
Yeah, thank you. Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, Adam, and Michael, the virtual Uber. Tonight, happy birthday, Joel! Adam introduces us to beverages to walk with, and bears come a-callin'. All that and more on Late Night. And now, digitally gathering to watch the big holiday celebration. Hey, wait a minute. That's not fireworks. That's just Michael cooking pork chops. Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, Adam, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 216 from the Monadnock region, where you might hear the occasional bang of fireworks since it's July 3rd. I'm Barry J.
Hey, and from the Crotchet Mountain region of central New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the not-so-quiet suburbs of Copper Harbor, well, there will be bangs, but most of the bangs will be tomorrow night. This is Michael, the virtual Uper from Studio V.
And Barty apologized. He may drop in, but he's got the theory of relativity this weekend. His son and his family and the grandkids and all that are up visiting, so Barty's off having fun with the family. So
absolutely.
That's cool.
Have a great time.
Yeah. So, anyway, so, it is, a holiday weekend, and, I want to wish everybody a happy Independence Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
And which is tomorrow, of course, the 4th. Mm-hmm. My wife is doing her traditional thing up at the, Jeffrey Center, where at the town hall where they, read the declaration.
Yes,
the Declaration of Independence.
Yes,
and then there's the social ice cream.
I have to ask: are you going to eat some ice cream like you did last year and get sick?
Did I get sick last year?
Yes, you did.
I think you're right.
I know I'm right. I have notes.
I don't think it was the ice cream though.
Yeah, you got sick right after the ice cream social. You were sick for like 3 days after.
Boy. Huh. Yeah, I think you're right. I think I was. I don't remember. It must have been, you know.
I'll have the sherbet.
Ice cream usually doesn't bother me, so I'm sure it was something else. Just so it happened to be at the same time. Well, let's get on to our first part, which is Podcasters Anonymous.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
And Michael.
And being a holiday weekend, that means it's not a holiday for me, so I'm drinking Pepsi and dihydrogen monoxide as a chaser.
Wow.
Very good. And because Joel and I had a barbecue this afternoon and much rum was consumed,
yes.
I've decided to join Michael and go with a sparkling dihydrogen monoxide.
Nice. I took my dihydrogen monoxide and mixed it with Crown Royal Reserve.
good to dilute that dihydrogen monoxide.
Yeah, you know. And since it's a, is it an acid? So you got to use a base. Well, I don't know. What's alcohol? Is alcohol a base or an acid? It's an acid, isn't it?
It's a base, I believe.
It's a base? I don't know. I'm not a chemist.
Neither am I.
Chemistry was
good.
What's that?
I know it tastes good. I know that much.
All right. And so that'll take us into our next section, Days of Our Lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
All right, and I guess I'm first. I will say, the bear came and visited. We had a bear this past week. Of course, it was while I was at work, but Anne-Marie, it was in the afternoon, and Anne-Marie took plenty of pictures. I posted some up on Facebook. I guess I should put some on the Google Plus community, too. But he was a big one. Probably, I'm guessing, close to 6 feet tall. And wow. How do I know how tall he was? Well, because I've got a picture of him standing at the shepherd's hook, kind of leaning on it and looking through it. Well, I went and stood at the shepherd's hook, and my head is just over the shepherd's hook, and I'm 6'8", so that makes him probably in the 6 foot range. And literally, he was up on both, you know, standing like a man. And that's also how we figured out it was a he.
Ah.
Yes, he was.
Took the guesswork out.
It was a well endowed he.
Things I never wanted to know.
Yeah. So, but he stayed for a while, and Sammy didn't know he was out there. But Sammy was sitting by the sliding glass door in the family room, and I think the bear saw Sammy, and he started coming down toward the house. And all of a sudden, Sammy saw him, and he was up, and he was going back and forth in front of the sliding glass door, and he was barking. And all of a sudden, the bear stopped and said, maybe that's not a good idea. So he turned around and started kind of fast pacing it up to the woods. So, but, yeah, he looked a little thin, so, might be on the hungry side of things. Joel, your wife mentioned on some of the pictures that, the berries are a little late this year, so...
Yes.
That could be why they're really out looking for food and out looking for bird
chickens.
Right, chickens. Do they eat chickens?
They eat anything.
I didn't know whether black bears. I thought black bears
mostly were vegetables, but yeah. If they're hungry enough, they'll go after chickens.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So anyway, so that's my Days of Our Lives this week for this part, Michael.
So, yeah, I'm getting into my final MMPR preparations. I have a little bit of spending cash for beverages and food. I'm getting David's Jeep ready.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Jeep to Sault Ste. Marie. And I guess I'll mention that here. I was going to do that in bottom gear. But it was funny because Dr. Dave said, well, you know, you're arriving Thursday. Don't rush it. And I got back to him and I said, I don't think I own a vehicle that will rush. Not a
problem. Oh, wow.
But yeah, just get an oil change in and get it all prepped. And I'll just take my time heading out to Sault Ste. Marie in the Jeep.
Okay. I'm going to tell everybody to cut your cameras because, Michael, you're siloing a bit.
Ah,
yes. So,
of course.
Yeah.
And I see notes here that Barty.
I see Barty adding notes.
Yes, it's awesome.
So,
that's awesome indeed.
Yeah.
So either he's back or he's typing while he's walking.
Oh, good. He could, but he's typing too fast for a cell phone.
He might be doing it on his watch.
Barty notes. He's doing that new. Oh no, they don't have that yet, right? The scribe on the watch. That's in the Watch 3. I think it's coming out. And you can sit there one character at a time and do it. So.
Well.
Yeah. Okay. So there's Barty.
Uh oh. What?
Let me see if I can add him. He called me on a separate.
Separate line.
It's not letting me add him. Oh, let's see. It's not letting me add him from his call, so I'll have to do it this way.
You see, I'd send him a text, but my phone is sitting on your kitchen table.
Okay, I added him. Okay, it stopped.
There he is.
There.
Hey!
Hey, you made it!
Yeah, let me turn you up here. Oh, how do I get the volume louder? Can hardly hear you guys.
Yeah,
did you hear that?
I did.
Now that Barry's eardrums are bleeding.
What?
What? Guys, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you talk?
Can I talk? Yeah, I can talk.
Can you hear Adam? Okay?
Is that Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can hear him.
Okay. But cool. For some reason, let me go over to here. Hello?
Yeah, you're here. You're still there.
All right. I can hardly hear you guys. Output.
I should be.
I turn up the volume. Can you hear us now?
Hear us now.
Now, is that bleeding back to you?
No.
No,
okay,
no.
Okay, because I've got you coming out through the internal speakers of the iMac. And the microphone is right in front of that, in between Adam and I.
Okay, I don't hear any echoing coming back, so.
Take a Sharpie, right. Walk over to the head unit, put an 11 after the 10, and turn it up to 11.
All righty. So where are show notes?
Yeah, you got any more to add? We'll continue on while you add show notes.
All right, to catch up with Podcasters Anonymous, I'm enjoying J&B Brandy, Adam is enjoying Captain Morgan and Coke.
All right.
Excellent choice.
Excellent, excellent.
A.K.A. my walking coffee.
We had him on our walk. We all walked the dog together down the dirt road. That was awesome.
Cool. I think I need a coffee for the road. It gives it a whole new meaning.
All right, so where did we join?
Michael was just finishing up on. Were you done, Michael, or did you have some more to say about MMPR?
Prep? I think I was done. Of course, it depends how much of it came through because it was just about the time we killed video.
You were good. You just kind of
cut
out a little bit toward the end, so I figured to try to, you know, get knock. More booze.
Have some walking coffee. Adam's pouring.
Yeah, the problem is, Barty and Adam, Joel and I had a cookout this afternoon, so much rum was consumed. And
it's the same thing.
Well, there you go. So
we're all together in spirit. Spirits.
That's why we were running a little late.
Yeah. Sounds like
we're doing the weekend right.
Yeah, that's why I switched over to sparkling dehydrogen monoxide, as we put it here ever so nicely. Anyway, I guess the next thing, okay. Yeah. Adam, you're probably not interested in this because you're not old enough yet. You're getting there, but you're not of CPAP age yet. At least I don't think you are.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
But I got a new CPAP machine, everybody. And I've had the one I currently have probably for about 6 or 7 years old. So I got the new one, picked it up, and holy crap, it's like a quarter of the size of the one I had.
Wow.
And and it's totally silent. And then neat thing about it is, I guess neat thing, it automatically sends your information via the cell network back to this website, and you can access it. You can get a login and stuff like that, and you can have access to all your information, and you can send it to your doctor or give your doctor permission to see this information. And that's all cool. And if you want to set up, you can get emails from them. Well, yeah, that was a mistake. So I said, sure, why not? Send me some emails. You know, yeah, well, now they're sending me like 2 or 3 emails a day for a CPAP machine. You know,
are you still breathing?
Yeah.
Are you still breathing?
Yeah. But I am on I'm a silver star because I consecutively used my CPAP for 5 days for 4 hours or longer. And it's like, yeah, I've been on a freaking CPAP machine for like 10 years now. I use it every night or I can't sleep, you know?
But I'm fond of life rather than dying in my sleep.
Yeah.
So therefore I put it on when going to bed.
Yes. You know, it's kind of a... That's the way it works. And but on the front of the thing, when you finish for the night, it gives you this little report. And a happy face means that you slept well. And 2 happy faces means that they didn't detect any leaks, like your mask wasn't leaking or anything. And I've gotten a couple of frowny faces for the mask leaking, so I have to make some adjustments there, I guess. But,
don't want any frowny faces.
They're getting pretty high. Oh, sorry, Joe.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, sorry.
I was just going to say, they're getting pretty high tech. Because, you know, my old one, the only way I knew it was leaking was because the wheezing of the air coming out the side of it woke me up.
Yeah, usually I could tell it was leaking because I'd feel this large slap across my chest, usually coming from the other side of the bed.
Hey, you can't blame her.
You're right, Barty. They've changed a lot. I mean, I remember the days my dad had one, and first thing you had to do is make sure you put 2-stroke gas in it, and then wrap the rope around the end of the pulley to try and fire it up, because it sounded like a weed whacker running in the room when you're trying to sleep.
I thought you were going to say you had enough food for the gerbil to run.
I'm telling you, this makes no noise whatsoever. I mean, it is like you can't hear a thing. So, and then when I got it, my old machine, you know, if you put the mask on and you start breathing, it automatically turned it on. And this one, I was doing that and it didn't work. And I said, I read the manual and supposedly it has that feature. But then I read, but the clinician, has to enable that. And apparently that wasn't done. So she called me a day or so later, and I mentioned that to her. She says, well, if you bring it back, I'm in Keene every Thursday. I said, Thursday's bad because I work. I got to take off from work to go and do it. And then we were trying to come up with a schedule. And she goes, well, I'm not going to say anything, but if you're tech savvy, I said, people have called me that since I work in software. She goes, I'm not saying that if you go and Google, and she gives me the full name and model number of the device, and look there, you may be able to find out some information about getting into the clinician setup. And, yeah, sure, I did. Googled it. It was like the second thing down. And figured out how to, you hit 2 buttons and hold it for 3 seconds, and boom, you're into a whole new menu where you can adjust everything. And I turned my auto start on.
What brand is it?
It's same one. Yeah, it's ResMed. It's the same one you have. You have the 9, I think.
Yeah, ResMed S9.
Yeah, I have the 10. So, so it's a little bit smaller than yours.
Yeah. Nice machines.
Yeah. But, okay, enough of the old man talk. We'll go back to Michael now.
Oh, we're not going to talk about blown out knees and bad backs?
Oh, did you add that?
Adam looking no. scared.
Well, you should have.
It's no big deal. It's the same old.
Because, you know, you are an official old man now. But let's go to Michael.
Oh, Jesus.
Michael? Michael?
Okay, I helps don't... if I unmute my mic here. otherwise, you hear my chair go, I'm trying not to do that. Anyhow, so yeah, 4th of July weekend. Notice I don't say holiday there because it ain't for me. It gets to be a trend with just every holiday up here. It's so yeah, it's been busy. It's been crazy busy with not only EMS, which fortunately I've only had to make one run so far, but the weekend is early. It starts ramping up tonight through tomorrow as far as stupid things going on. And then this job that I keep trying to quit, just the internet situation up here. The guys at the home office and myself just worked late into Friday night and most of yesterday getting things just trimmed the way they needed to be. It was looking to be the best because this is the busiest weekend of the year for us by far. And things were holding together right up until the fiber failed. And then after the fiber failed, which was actually probably a good idea that we decided to do the show tonight because I wouldn't have been joining last night.
Really?
It went down about 10 to 6. Oh. And we didn't get any preliminary connection back up and running until after 11. So wow. I would have been bye-bye. I did manage to prop a phone in the right place in my living room to get a Verizon hotspot going when people weren't dropping the tower on me. And yeah. I was able to communicate with the rest of the group without having to call them on the phone, the landline, and say, what's happening now? What's happening now? Wow. But unfortunately, it took out a rather major router and screwed up a whole bunch of settings. And we've been cleaning up configurations all day, and there's still people offline.
Wow.
Does this
happen at the fiber? Did it happen at the fiber? I mean, the company, I don't know who provides your fiber.
It happened at the point of presence in Calumet. So okay. It's right the demarcation point between their fiber and our equipment. And I haven't gotten the full story yet on whose equipment failed. But it sure looks like that we were running the most data we ever have. And the particular router looked at it and went, ah! And... committed router side. They said the router was too hot to touch.
Really?
Literally. Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't know they got hot pushing all those bits around. But actually, when you're handling lots of TCP/IP packets, it does generate a lot of CPU cycles. Just think about the equivalent of a high res video game card and a game going full bore on the card. It gets hot.
Yeah, because you're handling both sides, uplink and downlink and repeats and everything else to get it right. So, there we go. Fireworks are starting. It's dark here.
Ah, so it'll be dark here at 11:30 tomorrow night. That's when we'll do our.
Jeez,
I still find that amazing.
Yeah, so. We had some neighbors that were messing around with fireworks around dinner time, and it's like, well, just like firecrackers and things like that, that really spooked poor Thor.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is not a holiday dog, so appreciate.
No, and, never.
And, of course, right now, around here, I hope people are being careful, because we have not had a whole hell of a lot of rain in the past few weeks, and things are very dry.
So. Yeah. Wow. I didn't think of that. A really good point. Yeah, it's extremely dry.
Yeah. So, hopefully they're being smart about it. But yeah, probably not.
Well, let's so, Michael.
Yes.
I was going to say, people drive from multiple states away to come up and consume vast quantities of alcohol and play with explosives. It just is never going to end well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So as we kind of alluded to earlier, Joel, you're officially an old man now, aren't you?
That could be one way of looking at it, yes. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was my birthday. And
how many years young are you? That get used to people saying that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for being the first. I appreciate that. You're breaking me in easy. 45 years young.
Oh, you're a mere child yet.
Yeah, you're still a young pup.
Yes. Well, as I had said to my son, you know, you wake up or you have your cup of coffee in the morning and so on and so forth. And you walk your way into the restroom, you look in the mirror and you look at it and you say, who the hell's that old fat guy staring at me? Oh, my God, that's me. Because in your head, you don't feel it, but nope. It sure does look that way. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's just another birthday.
Yeah.
And, it was a nice one, quiet. My wife got me a couple of nice little gifts, as I talked about on the previous show. She got me a vape system, a vape mod, mm-hmm. which is what I had wanted. And what else? I mean, and then I sat, I pretty much sat my butt down for the entire day playing Tom Clancy's The Division and finally ranked up to level 30. And I played it until 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's a task in itself. 30. Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's that got that done. And for those who do play the game, there's 3 wings that you have to secure to 100%. And I got those all done as well.
Yay. So, all right. Awesome. Yes,
it's definitely a different game. Thank you. It is totally addictive and completely different game once you hit level 30, too. Just for those who are interested in gaming. Oh, God, yeah. It so far surpasses playing Call of Duty. It's unbelievable. Hmm. I don't even look at that game anymore. All I want to do, when I'm thinking about playing or getting on the Xbox, I just want to play Tom Clancy's The Division and really looking forward to the next expansion pack.
There's so much variety and such a wide range of activity that you can do in the game,
Yes, absolutely. And it's hard. It's not just like, go by the numbers, easy, walk over here, do this, do that. It's freaking hard. So
it takes a lot of cunning and strategy and guerrilla tactics to try to get ahead.
Yeah, and playing it in 3 or 4 or 5-man teams really makes the game. Some stuff you're just playing old, I'm convinced you're never going to be able to accomplish unless you're in at least a 3-man team, and everybody better be ranked up pretty high.
Yeah, so, I agree.
It's a blast. I love playing the game now. I mean, I did before, but I really love playing it now. So that being said, with having vacation time, I see a lot more controller time in my immediate future.
So what you're telling me is this is kind of like World of Warcraft with automatic weapons?
In a roundabout kind of way, yes, because you can totally customize your characters for different roles. A technician, a tank role, sniper role, an all-around soldier where you have to balance your toughness versus your DPS and so on and so forth. And yeah, so it has a lot of the same attributes. You mod, you recalibrate, you put different gear on, different armor sets, different, and you really got to. I have friends of mine that actually write the stuff down, the different setups. And there's so many vast different setups just because there's that many options. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different ways to set up your character.
Wow.
Yeah. And then when you get it right, you do something stupid and screw it all up and start over.
Oh, my God, that's the worst thing. You're like, oh, I got a piece of teal armor. I'll put that on. And all of a sudden, your toughness goes from 275,000 down to 89. You're, what happened? Now you can't take shots. You're getting beat up. You're dying every other 5 seconds. And you're thinking, what the heck did I just change? And then you're trying to remember what it was so you can try and put it back.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, you definitely strategize as far as how you want to set up your character, what you want to run on him or her. And the game is totally addictive. I love playing it because you have against a third person shooter against AI controlled characters, and then when you go into the dark zone, it's PvP. So literally, you're playing against other human beings and other teams of human beings, and it can get pretty darn brutal because the object is to shoot them, kill them, especially if you go rogue, and then steal their shit. So it's when they drop it. It can be frustrating and a lot of fun at the same time.
Now, do you regenerate in this game, or once you're
dead?
You
can respawn. No, you respawn in, but never at the same spot. So then you might be...
That's safe house.
Yeah, or safe house.
You know, if you're like on a complicated campaign, you go back to like an earlier spot of the campaign.
Right, and then you got to pretty much hump your way all the way back to where the firefight was, or try and fast travel, if you will.
Okay. Wow. Cool. So, is this a game? When did this game come out? Is this a new game, or has it been out for a while?
When did that come out?
About 8 months ago.
Yeah, it was right before Christmas last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 'cause I remember bringing it up on this show after Adam introduced me to it, and talking about it and recommending that Joel should try it out.
Yeah.
We have very similar feelings towards games and kind of likes and dislikes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, it's if you haven't played it, try it. Yeah, I think you're going to love it.
Except for me, who, you know, won't make it 5 seconds before.
You can get, I think you could probably get further in this game than you would like some of the games that you'd played in the past, like Call of Duty and things like that. Because you don't have a lot of the jump and run kind of things that you have to worry about with like Call of Duty, where you got like 14-year-old kids just blasting and running and blasting, you know? There's a lot more strategizing that goes on in this game, and I think you would probably excel more with that situation than like a Call of Duty type game.
Okay. I'll have to check.
Actually, I looked up the statistics. The average age of the player playing The Division is 31.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
It's very tactical.
That kind of makes sense. Usually the younger kids can't work as a team as well. They all want the glory, so they all go for that kill, whereas an older crowd tends to work a little better together, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, wow.
Huh. I'm in that age group. I'm in that group now.
There you go.
I'm not as old as Joel yet, but you know.
Yeah. But you're getting there. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, but by then Joel will be older.
Yeah, and Barty, you and I'll be gone.
Yeah, probably.
Or sitting in a chair drooling and going, huh?
Oh, I already do that. I had to beat Adam to it.
Excellent. Oh, jeez. So, you know, I've heard Microsoft. Oh, this sounds more like a Geek Central thing, but or Geek Corner thing. But I'll still talk about it. Microsoft, I guess, is going to start allowing play between different devices now, or is it just that you can switch? I guess if you can switch devices, then they're going to allow you to play on different devices with people with different devices. So it's not going to be like I've got my Xbox 360 and I can't play against anybody who's got an Xbox One, and they can't play against people that are running playing on a PC, a Windows PC. But I think, aren't they supposed to start allowing play to go on between inter-device play?
That's what I had heard the same.
I had heard the same. With Steam and Xbox for was that little racing soccer car game? I forget the name of that game now. See, I am getting old.
There you go.
Have some more coffee.
Started with that one, and they're supposed to be expanding to be able to play with other systems like PlayStation 4 with games like No Man's Sky.
Hmm. Okay.
You know that.
Because you guys all advanced on to Xbox One, and I still got my Xbox 360, and matter of fact, I should probably turn it on and get all the updates because it's just
it's going to take a week.
Well, I'll tell you what: if you ever decide to get rid of your Xbox 360 and get an Xbox One, be careful about which 360 games you get rid of, because more and more of the 360 games are able to be played on the Xbox One. Adam introduced me to that a while back, and it kind of made me wish I had known that was coming when I got rid of my 360, because I would have kept a lot of the games that I had.
Hmm. I never even thought about getting rid of the games, but yes, I could take the whole thing to GameStop, I guess, or something like that, and trade it in, or trade up.
Bottom dollar. Well, you actually, from Adam, I've learned that you get a better deal trying to sell your old equipment and games on something like Craigslist or something like that. When taking them to GameStop is an easy way to get rid of them, because they will give you a set price, but like Adam suggested, it's basically the bottom dollar that you'll get for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true. Yeah. I don't know if this affects you guys, but and they're right across the street from each other, but a two-hour round trip from here. But my youngest son, Mark, has actually sold all of his games at Walmart and been able to turn those right around into credit for the games he was looking for at Walmart.
Really?
So that's another option. You go up into their like their phone tech area and you turn them in there.
Huh.
But they'll buy them back.
Yeah, because that's where I got my X1. Did I get it at Walmart? I think I got it at Walmart. It was either Walmart or Target. Target.
Yep.
Excuse me, Target. One of those. I don't know. They all look the same to me.
Surprised
I didn't get it on Amazon. So, we'll go on with Barty now. Barty, it's your turn.
Yes, I am having a wonderful weekend. As you've already heard, Adam is here. Yeah. His beautiful wife and our two great, fantastic grandchildren are here with us. And we've just been having a wonderful, fantastic weekend. Playing around in the backyard and things, and of course, you know, having some time for video games. We were enjoying, Adam's like making a swing move. Yeah, we were enjoying knocking golf balls into the pond, trying to put them across the pond on the other side. it was a blast. All of us were out there taking turns and just throwing, banging golf balls all over every which way. It was a blast.
Did you get any ducks?
No. None of the ducks were around. They saw us swinging wildly and were smart enough to stay the hell away. Because we had golf balls going in every direction, sinking lily pads and bouncing off trees. And Adam was one that had the greatest shots that went all the way across the pond and banged into the trees on the other side of the field from the pond.
Wow.
So and you could hear it bouncing off the branches and the trunks and stuff. It was like, yeah, good one, Adam. So we're having a fantastic weekend. That's why I'm a little late getting into the show, because our barbecue ran a little late and the cleanup ran a little late. And then we all walked the dog together down the dirt road, which was a fantastic experience. It was great to spend that time together, all of us. So, yeah, we're having a fantastic, wonderful weekend.
Great. That's great. Nice. Of course, the weather's perfect this weekend. So. Yeah.
I want to thank you guys for indulging me and not minding me being late.
Hey, you know, our first rule is family first, you know, so this is just a hobby. So, you know, not a problem. And we're so glad you could bring Adam on with us, with you, you know, and join us this week. So that's really cool.
You know, Adam's a pretty neat guy, even though he does think a hell of a lot of Joe. You know, I keep telling him, you know, be a little wary of Joe. You know, he's a weird dude.
Yeah, he really is. You know.
Thank you.
I had to get a little fun in there, Joe.
Oh yeah.
So I guess I forgot to add this, but I might as well tell you because it happened today. Actually, right before Joel came over, Joel and Debbie came over for the barbecue. Amazon. So I ordered two things on Amazon. One was a camera for my wife, who she wanted a camera for her Mac Mini downstairs because she does her own podcast, Political QRM, with her friend Lou. And they do it via Skype, just like we do it. And, of course, when she's down there, Lou can't see her. She can see Lou. And so I ended up getting her a Logitech camera, ordering one on Amazon for that. And next week is her birthday. We won't say which one it is. 60. And we don't do much. We don't celebrate birthdays here, you know, really big. But I decided to get her a birthday present. And so both of them, I ordered them both on the same evening, 2 days ago. And they both said, they will be delivered, because I'm an Amazon Prime member. They will be delivered on Sunday. And great. Well, I went out on some errands this morning, and while I was gone, the USPS, United States Postal Service, showed up and handed Anne Marie a package. And she goes, "Oh, okay. Well, She knew that the camera was coming, and she just assumed it was the camera. She didn't know I had something else. And so I came back, and I said, where's the second package? She goes, what second package? I said, there's supposed to be two. And I went, needless to say, I went and looked what was in this package. I said, don't open that. And I looked, and it was the birthday present and not the camera. So I'm sitting there. I said, well, they made a mistake. They'll be back because, you know, there's guaranteed delivery until 8 p.m. Well, right before Joel and Debbie came, about 1:45 this afternoon, I get a text that says they can't deliver the package because it's got a bad address. I'm like, bad address? It's freaking the same address you delivered the birthday present this morning. You just didn't see it in your truck or something. And so I immediately get on the phone with Amazon. And very nice. I talked to Marco D. And he was very nice. Although he did talk like this. So I'm not sure where the call was originating from. He was very good. And he immediately got a hold of the postal service, and they said their claim that the address is a bad address, so I can't tell them what the new address or whatever the right address is, but I can put you in a conference call and you can confirm the address. And so they did with the person from the United States Postal Service, she goes, so where do you live? And I gave her my address. She goes, oh yeah, that's what we have here. I said, I know, because the guy showed up this morning and delivered the one package, but he didn't give us the second package. And they confirmed everything. She goes, well, we can reschedule that delivery for Tuesday. And I'm like, it's only 1:45, and it's supposed to be guaranteed till 8 p.m. And you're saying, oh, and where's this coming from? Oh, it's coming from the post office in Jaffrey. So it's going to, he can't make a 3-mile trip in 6 hours? Apparently not. So, needless to say, it's been rescheduled for delivery on Tuesday because of the holiday. But a little bit of good news. Marco felt sorry for me and that Amazon couldn't help us out completely, so they added an extra month to my Amazon Prime subscription. So I got that going for me.
I guess something.
Yeah, he did give me the phone number to call Jaffrey post office and see if they're still there. I said, yeah, probably not. But I just can't, you know, it's like, oh, geez, what's this package? Oh, damn, I'm going to have to go 3 miles to deliver this? Nah, they can get it on Tuesday. So, okay, that was my whining about Amazon. It's not nearly as bad as some of the things that Doug from the Slug is Doug has gone through with the Canadian Postal Service. And, we do have issues here too, and it's usually not from UPS or FedEx. Those guys usually, when they say they're going to deliver something, it's there when they say it's going to be delivered. The USPS, not so much.
Well, out here, our final delivery isn't done by USPS. It's done by, like, private contractors.
Really?
They're driving, like, civilian vehicles, and they're not wearing post office uniforms or anything like that.
They're rural carriers. They're rural carriers. My sister was one. They kind of are the post office, but yet they still treat them like contractors.
Yeah, but it's not the same, because you can't expect them to pick up outgoing packages. You have to take those to the post office. They'll take outgoing mail, you know, because you flip up the flag on your mailbox, and they'll take it if it's stamped and everything. But even if you have a prepaid outgoing package, they're not allowed to pick it up. So you have to take it to some post office somewhere.
Yeah. My sister could tell you horror stories about pros and cons about the being a rural carrier.
I can tell you
carrier.
Horror stories about delivery.
Well, yeah, here we always have the, you know, they come down the street and they, all our mailboxes are on the other side of the street because they're only come down one way on the street. They won't come up the other way. So needless to say, everybody on our side of the street, it's across the street, the mailboxes. And they're not clustered or anything, but the neighbors close here, like if there's four or five of us, we routinely go down, get our mail, and then do mail exchange with each person. Oh, I've got your mail. Oh, I've got your mail. I've got your mail. Happens all the time.
So. Yeah, we get that too.
Yeah, that's why
but
I've gone more.
The biggest threat that we have is that Tony will order things that, you know, like clothing and things, and it'll come in a soft package. They will roll these things up and try to cram them, force them into our post office, our mailbox. And when you got to try to get that out, you're like trying to be careful because you don't want to rip the thing to shreds.
Yeah.
So you're wondering, how the hell did they get these things in there?
They go to class, you know, for that.
You what?
They go to class, special classes for that.
I guess so. It's an expert class in miniaturization, and who cares if it expands afterwards? Because it's hard as hell to get the crap back out. And that will take, and things that won't fit in the mailbox, they'll just drop it by the garage door. I mean, it's like 5 feet to the friggin' front door. Will they put it there? No. They just toss it in the driveway and take off. It's like, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, the postal service especially. Have you ever gotten the plastic bag hanging on the mailbox with a package inside?
Yeah,
that's not asking for anybody to steal. Oh, jeez. Yep. Well, the postal service, our friend. So, yeah. All right.
Your tax dollars at work.
What's that?
Your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, really. Jeez. Well, semi-private now, you know. Whatever that means.
It means you got screwed more.
Yeah, that's what it means. All right, let's get into broken news. Welcome to the QRM News Studios in Jaffrey, New Hampshire. This is Broken News. And we just have two, at least I only added two news items that were breaking at one time, but that was in the past, so now they're just broken stories. And the first one, of course, everybody heard about Brexit, which I can't stand that word because it's so Orwellian. It's like newspeak, you know? Let's take two words and combine them together and come up with something Brexit. It's like
stupid and meaningless.
It's like newspeak, you know? It's like, all I can tell you, as we all know, the Brits have decided after a vote, a narrow vote, they won 52%, I think, to 49% or 48%. I guess it would 48. Be 48% if you do the math right. that they are going to leave the EU. Of course, that may take up to 10 years for them to leave, but they have made that decision, and instantly overnight, the people that were pro-EU are basically calling everybody that voted for it xenophobes and old and stupid and idiots, and of course, you know, the typical name-calling stuff. And but my opinion of Brexit is, I don't live in England. I don't know what it's like to live in England. I've really never visited England. So I think the British people have the right to make their own decision on what their future is going to be. They live their lives. They, you know, they have to deal with the EU. And I will say that... if I were a British person, and just hearing what I've learned, I would probably vote for it because the exit, only because I'm a person that kind of believes in local government more than one giant worldwide government, because to me, the further away your government is from you, the less they really care about you. So I'm more for local government, and you know, or an escalating government up to a big government, but that big government should not have all the say of everything that goes on locally, because, well, let's face it, living in New Hampshire is much different than living in Florida, Arizona, Michigan. Well, maybe not so much Michigan. Just have to get used to the sun setting a lot later in the evening. But anyway, that's just my opinion. But basically, hey, Brits, do what you think you need to do. And don't worry, we'll get over it. So anybody else have any comments about this one topic?
Well, I kind of applaud the Brits for taking control of their country back and pushing the EU off and saying, hey, screw you assholes. We don't want all these unwashed immigrants showing up over here and making a mess of things. You know, although there was a bit of a hangover that occurred after the vote where they were talking about some of the people that voted for it said that they wish they had voted against it. But, you know, overall, I think this is going to be a good move for Britain. They're going to be able to push away from the EU, but they're going to be able to still make the trade agreements that they need to. Because let's face it, the EU is not going to be able to survive without continued trade with Britain. You know, yeah, I mean, the whole world is too interlocked to just simply say that because Britain is leaving the EU, that the EU is going to ignore them. They can't. You know, they still have to trade with them. So I think it's a good thing.
Anybody else? Anybody? Anybody?
No.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly has brought up a lot of comment from the field. And I mean, I actually worked there for a while, but that doesn't qualify me to make an informed decision or make an informed comment on what they should or shouldn't do. I've certainly heard both sides of the argument. I followed... Heaven forbid, I've listened to what Nigel Farage has had to say for years, so a lot of this stuff is no big surprise to me. Besides, you know, first of all, Britain never fully got into the financial side of things. They kept sterling.
Yep.
I'm not going to debate the immigration issues. It's, you know, that's something I'm not in place to comment on. I have a problem with appointed governments, so that would be something that would bristle me if I lived there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with appointed governments telling me what I can and can't do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's not nearly as a black and white issue as some people are making it to be. I understand the younger generation being upset that they can't just go to another country and work now. They have to do, let's see here, like we have to do, get a visa to go work someplace else other than the U.S.
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, I, you know, okay, mm-hmm. that's a case in point. So as usual, controversial subject, and I don't think it's quite as black and white as some people make it. So I'm sure I'll hear about it over beer this coming weekend.
probably. Yeah, I just say the Brits, the people who live it should make the decision. And God forbid, don't say you didn't know when the vote was taking place, because I even knew when they were voting on it. So, so that's not an excuse. You know, if you don't show up to vote, it doesn't count, right? So, but you know, this is just the beginning too. I've heard lots of things. I don't know how true they are or not, because I'm not following the story that close. But you know, again, I've heard that it could take up to 10 years to have them physically divorced from the EU, or it could take 2 or 3 years, depending on what the EU wants to do, because the EU seemed to be, the first thing they said is like, yeah, nope, we're not inviting you to meetings. You're out. We hope you get out as soon as possible. You know, so, okay. Yeah. That's fine. And of course, people were screaming about the stock market. Well, it plunged, and we heard about it on the news, but from what I understand, it's pretty much gone back up to where it was.
It rebounded.
Yes.
It rebounded back.
You know, the part we didn't hear about that.
Why did the stock market plunge?
Because just there's idiots because out there?
Because the vote occurred, nothing had changed.
There's people.
There was a decision made.
Yeah.
A populace had gone through an election and made a decision. But like you pointed out, this is going to take a decade to unfold. So at the present moment, not a single friggin' thing has changed.
No.
So why should the stock market fall?
Okay, I don't want to say I misspoke. They're not idiots out there, but there are people that do the stock market and they just panic. They hear something like this and say, "Oh my God, we don't know what's going to happen. Better get out, sell." And all I want to do is thank them for that, because when they say sell, and yes, my 401k lost a lot of value. Yeah, it's temporary, and guess what? I'm still participating in the 401k program. So now my money is buying at a low price.
So. Well, you know, that's like back in 2008 when the Great Recession started and everybody panicked because the stock prices fell through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I changed my 401k to just simply start buying as much as I could.
Yep.
My participation doubled. Mm-hmm. And I kept it that way until the stock market started to come back up. Once it started to get back to 2008 levels, I dropped it back down to what I had back in 2008.
There you go.
You know, I mean, what the heck? If the stock prices are going to go through the floor, that's a good time to buy.
Yep. Yeah, if you don't need the money right away. But then again, if you're using the money, you should have moved it over into safer stuff anyway. So, yeah, there's ways to protect your money. But, yeah, I look at it as an opportunity. Of course, my financial guy, they sent out an email warning people, you know, don't panic. You know, this is, and it's like, and they even called, and my wife was home. They called and said, I just want to make sure, you know, and it's like, and my wife said the same thing. She goes, we're not panicking. We know this is temporary, and hell, this is, we're buying stuff now. We're buying it at a cheaper price. It's no worries here, you know, so, but we'll see what happens. I mean, again, you know, if it really takes 10 years, there could be a hell of a lot more votes after this to counter this vote. So, you know, I'll believe it when it actually happens. So, and we'll see.
All right. Hey, I'm with you. I agree with you, Barry.
So, but the other thing was, this is a warning, because, you know, people went to bed the night before thinking that they were going to stay, and then they woke up the next morning, and it was like, what, they lost? And now that's supposed to be a sign that, for America in the upcoming presidential election that, you got to be careful, because, you know, this could be a sign. There might be people out there, and if you don't get everybody out to vote, we could end up with Donald Trump as our president. And it's like, okay, well, first of all, stop listening to the news. The president is not that powerful. He's just the head of the executive branch, which is, you know, he doesn't make the laws, he's supposed to execute them. The press and everybody makes a big deal out of the president. Other countries have presidents, that's not a big deal, but for some reason we make a big deal about it. And you know, the biggest thing that the president has is the bully pulpit, and that's only if people listen to him. So, you know, okay.
Damn, that's a good point, Barry.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, the president can't do a damn thing without the House and the Senate agreeing. And then you also got the judicial system that says, yeah, that law's unconstitutional. You can't do that. So that's why we're broken up into three pieces. And so, anyway, little history lesson for people that think that we're celebrating Independence Day, the end of the Civil War. I've heard some things about that. I heard some people being asked about that, and some interesting answers came out of founding fathers, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think one was Abraham Lincoln, Roosevelt. Okay, the next story is, and this is kind of a techie story, but there was a fatal Tesla accident, death, crash, from Tesla in a self-driving mode. And apparently what happened, oh, and the driver of the Tesla happened to be a former member of SEAL Team 6. I just found that interesting. If you're a conspiracy person.
Yeah, it is interesting, though.
It is interesting. I don't think he was part of that team. I think he was just a member of SEAL Team 6 at one time, probably different SEAL Team 6. But, you know.
He may have had a non combatant role in it. You know, they do have a lot of intelligence analysts and things like that that aren't the ones that go running out in the field and shoot people.
Or he could have been a part of SEAL Team 6 before any of that happened, or I don't know. I don't, you know, personnel change over time for these organizations. So.
Exactly.
We don't know when he was.
My office was part of SEAL Team 7.
But apparently, what happened was he was going down a road. Now, it wasn't a highway. You know, a regular, like, interstate with ramps and stuff. It was a road that you could make left turns off of, and apparently he was driving down at a pretty good clip, and a tractor-trailer with a white box on the back made a left-hand turn, and the car did not slow down and basically went right underneath the thing without even the brakes being applied. Now, I think Tesla's version of the self-driving is strictly done by cameras, and they were saying what happened was is the cameras could not distinguish between the white truck and the white sky that was out there. And, you know, even so, Tesla warns people, yes, we've got this mode, but you need to keep your hands on the steering wheel, and you should pay attention to override the system. Of course, I'll say, well, then why have the system except for, you know, it may be additional help in case you miss something that it picks up. That's a good thing. But I wouldn't trust it to drive me, especially if it's just using cameras. And the other word came out was the truck driver said he heard a Harry Potter movie playing in the car after the accident, so the guy might have been sitting there watching a Harry Potter movie while the car was driving down the road. Don't know. That's what, you know, a further investigation is going to happen, but the truck driver said he was going so fast, I didn't realize that a car hit me until after it was already done. And, you know, I come out the other end. You know, I don't know what happened to the guy, but usually in those kind of situations, the guy gets decapitated because, you know, basically it's sheared off the top of the car going underneath the tractor trailer. So, so we'll see what happens on this. It was, of course, Tesla's, you know, they're saying it's really an accident, and they claim that the software that runs this is beta. They tell you it's beta. And so, anybody got any opinions on this one?
I think it was kind of a sad thing that happened, but I don't want to sound callous, but it's I guess it's at least we got the first accident out of the way, because we knew that one was going to eventually happen.
Yeah,
you know, and I guess it, in a way it's better that it's in a camera type system than one of the more laser or some of the more sophisticated guidance systems that some of the cars are being developed with now.
Yeah.
But, you know, either way, you know, it's a pretty sad thing to have happen.
I think, I think people get too confident on these things. I think eventually we'll get this, but, here's the thing. I'm not going to trust a car to do the driving unless all the cars on the roads are being controlled, and they can talk to each other, and, you know, they know where each other are, not only, you know, through lasers and radar, LIDAR, and cameras, but they also have a mesh network or something, course, then you got to worry about people going in and hacking cars. But I think we're a long way. For assisted driving, yes. You know, in case you're distracted for a second and the car picks up on something and saves your ass or prevents you from moving over into another lane at the wrong time or something like that, yeah, I think that's all good. But I'm not ready to trust any vehicle. I'm not. Let's put it this way. I'm not getting in any vehicle unless it's on a railroad track that doesn't have a steering wheel.
Yeah, well, I feel the same way you do, Barry.
Yeah.
I think we have a long way to go before we can totally trust a driverless car to get you anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we'll get there.
Ever microwave burn your popcorn? That's computer controlled. So I'll be damned if I'm putting my big ass in a car and saying, take me to work, and then read a book while we're sitting in the car. No, thank you.
Yeah. And God only knows what onion rings will do to it.
Oh!
Had to go there.
Well, you know he had to.
Yeah, it was
just like he didn't have a tune for it.
Don't give him any ideas.
Oops, sorry, Joel.
All right, let's move on to Geek's Corner then.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
And I have the first story here because nobody put a story above mine. Yeah.
I just want to note that Adam was singing along with that song.
He was?
Yes, he was. You know, I actually sing that song every day I'm riding my riding mower around the yard. So
that's a great song, man. That's funny. Classic. Okay. Well, we discussed before that I'm using the antivirus software on my Mac called Avira, or I guess it's Avira. And it's either Avira or Avira, whatever. It's been doing a pretty good job. But I'm also using ChronoSync for my backup right now, and it was it's doing a good job backing things up. But one of the things that ChronoSync allows you to do is you can set up a notification via email that says, okay, your backup's done, and here's a brief log if there were errors or something to let you know how things went, and it emails it to you. Very nice, except when you choose that, it uses Apple Mail to send you that message. Now, I don't normally use Apple Mail. I use AirMail. That's my my app of choice. And when it popped up, all of a sudden I was getting these frickin' tons, thousands and thousands of emails that were getting quarantined. And of course, being backed up, so my backups were taking forever. And So looking into it a little bit, what I found out was that if you use Apple Mail, even if you're going after IMAP email accounts, like Google Mail uses IMAP, it for some reason likes to download the messages, and not just your inbox, but it does your junk mail, your spam mail folders, all of them, and it downloads them to your laptop, in my case. And, then Avira comes up and looks through everything, and it says, it goes into the spam box and says, oh, man, bunch of Trojan horses, bunch of viruses here. We're quarantining these. So it quarantines the files, which means it moves them out of the box and puts them into their quarantine section. And then Apple Mail promptly goes up to mail check with IMAP says, oh, you don't have these messages. So it downloads them again. And then Avira runs and goes, oh, Trojan horses, viruses, pulls them all out of the box, puts more into the quarantine section. Then ChronoSync comes up, and I'm assuming time machine may do the same thing. Says, oh, look, I've got like 750,000 emails or files to our backup. And so it just chunks away at these files. And I finally figured that out. So I changed my notification. I'm no longer getting email notification from ChronoSync. And I make sure that Apple Mail is turned off. And I basically had to blow away my complete backup and start over, because there was just, it was taking forever. It was running for like 3 days trying to delete the 750,000 files that were in the quarantine section that were no longer there. Because I went in online, I went on command line and deleted them. It took me a while to delete them all because I couldn't do them all at once with like remove asterisk. I had to do like remove one asterisk. No, in sections, because there were just too many files out there that it couldn't even fit them on the wildcard replacement on the command line. So, so that was interesting. So, word to the warning, if you use Avira, Apple Mail, and I've got to go look in Apple Mail and see if there's a way I can change the way it handles IMAP mail, but it's not a good thing, especially if the spam thing, because, yeah, there's a reason why Google Mail put it in the spam folder. It's spam. So, anyway, okay. That was my tech story, my geek corner for the day. Michael, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Even remembered to turn off the mute this time. So, yeah, talked about the last show where my oldest son, David, has opted and obtained a iPhone 6SE 64 gig version. And those things are really affordable compared to the full 6S's. Hmm. I think the 64 gig still came in at like $10 a month less.
Wow.
Than a regular 6S or close to that. Yeah, it was a lot less expensive. So both are all of them now have either a 6S or a 6SE. I'm still running my 5S. And once they got the latest iOS updates, I finally looked into what it takes to turn on the Wi-Fi calling feature, which at first I thought is like, well, big deal. You know, we Skype and hang out and everything all the time. Well, actually, it is pretty cool. Although it is very difficult living out here in the middle of nowhere. When you turn on Wi-Fi calling, the first thing it does is says you have to put in a disclaimer that, you know, there may be some difficulties with 911 since you're doing Wi-Fi calling. And then it asks you to give a address. Well, most of the country does not recognize Copper Harbor as a valid address. So that gets to be a problem.
Lost.
Yeah, kind of. Well, it is Copper Island here. Try to find that on a map. It's actually the name. I did manage to get it turned on all three phones. And as soon as I turned it on, I was able to call and have them make calls over their, you know, to call their Verizon number, and it rang perfectly in the house. But what I wasn't expecting is kind of cool, especially for my wife. I'd say half of her friends are not on iPhones. So she would get this list of text messages waiting for her, you know, as soon as when she would go to town and got back into cell phone range. Well, Verizon is translating and sending and receiving all text messages in the Wi-Fi as well. So it is like you are actually connected to a cell tower.
Nice.
So now she can actually talk to her best friend who has basically a flip phone. So,
nice.
So, it's kind of cool. So well done, Verizon. Actually, I'm sure this is probably well done, Apple, enabling this feature, but cool.
Yeah, Apple.
Except that it doesn't work in my phone. It doesn't
really
work on the 5S. No, I don't know what decided to do for, probably because they want you to buy a new phone, because there's no reason why the hardware can't handle it.
Huh, that's weird. I got to say that AT&T also turned this feature on, because, you know, Apple has it, but it doesn't work unless the carrier decides to allow it to happen, and AT&T did turn it on. And I was thinking about doing an experiment because, you know, I have been on AT&T ever since I got my first iPhone, which, you know, AT&T was the only carrier back then. And at best, where I actually live, cell service is kind of spotty for AT&T, and they really didn't give a shit about my needs until the iPhone became available on Verizon, and suddenly a free microcell showed up at my house to help out. And the microcell basically is just that. It's a microcell microcell service, and you plug it into your internet, and so you've got this little cell tower in your house. And
yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah, and it works great. And I've been using it for years, although it doesn't do LTE or anything like that or anywhere near that quality, but it's good enough for phone calls and stuff. And of course, I'm on the Wi-Fi for data, so it works great. But yeah, you know, I was thinking because of Michael's story and other people talking about this, and I do have Wi-Fi calling turned on. I'm thinking about unplugging the microcell and see how well I get phone calls now just through Wi-Fi. Because I'm wondering whether it'll be a little better and a little faster service. You know?
How ironic.
I don't think I need the microcell anymore, but I'm going to have to experiment on that because of, you know, Michael's done, you know, he's experienced it now. Well, his wife's experienced it now and his kids, but Michael believes in old phones. So
I believe in an old phone that still works.
Yeah, I know.
I'd like to get a new phone, but you know what? This one still works.
Well, I'm probably going to be with you this year about that because, Apple hasn't come out with saying what the iPhone 7 is going to have on it. But right now, I think I'm going to wait for the next year for the anniversary phone, which is supposed to be like totally new and different. But we'll see. Anyway, but yes, I think I'm going to try the Wi-Fi calling. That's all I wanted to say. Way too long. So, and my next topic here, I'm next. I just have questions if anybody's heard of this. I have a Magic Mouse, and recently it seems to be losing the Bluetooth connection because it'll be sitting there and I'll go to use it and it's disconnected. And I've actually got to go up in under Bluetooth and say connect, and then it even takes a little bit of time and then finally it'll connect up. It's not low batteries, because it tells you if you have low batteries, but I, needless to say, I just changed the batteries. So it's got fresh batteries, but I seem to be losing the connection to it, even though it's sitting right next to the laptop. And anybody's got any suggestions or knows anything about that, I sure would like to find out.
Go
ahead, Mike.
Go ahead, Barty.
No, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I'm wondering if this is an El Capitan thing because, as I've mentioned before, my oldest son is here for the summer from college working for the university in my office, and he's actually using my 2011 MacBook with a Microsoft Bluetooth mouse and a Bluetooth receiver, and that keeps disconnecting.
Hmm.
And that's with its own little dongle through the USB port.
Wow. Huh.
On the other hand, my Bluetooth touchpad for my new MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
No issues at all.
Huh. Now, I've got... Mine's a 2013 model MacBook Pro, so... It's going to... Next year, I guess it'll be officially long in the tooth.
I have a number of...
I'm still running my 2010, man.
Sorry,
Marty?
I have
a number of Magic Mice on a number of different Macs, and yeah. I'm not having any trouble at all. On my Mac Pro, I've got the rechargeable Magic Mouse and a rechargeable keyboard, and I'm not having any kind of Bluetooth issues at all. But okay. Before that, I was using a battery-powered Magic Mouse, and even without El Capitan, I wasn't having any issues at all. Hmm. So I don't know why you're having problems, because I haven't experienced anything like that.
It just started.
I've had some issues where I had to wake up the keyboard when I was trying to log in after booting the machine up, but that was about it.
Now this just started happening. I've never had any issues with it before, except for, you know, when the batteries go low and I got to replace them. But like I said, it tells you when the batteries are low. It's just started happening, and it's just annoying because I use I use a combination of the mouse and the touchpad. I'm one of those weird people that use two touchy devices. And so...
Oh, you're such a touchy guy.
Yeah, dude. That's it. I'm touchy-feely. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little frustrating, you know, because I sit there and I go to move the mouse and it's not doing anything. And I go up under Bluetooth and check and it says connect. It doesn't say it's connected. It disconnected. So, very strange. I don't know. Hopefully, I'm just hoping my Bluetooth isn't wearing out or something. Or something's going wrong with the mouse.
Wear out.
What's that?
How does Bluetooth possibly wear out?
Well, it is a radio, and if you use it a lot, something might go wrong with it, and it could drop its connection. I mean, a radio's a radio. Oh, so, and the computer's now 3 years old. You know, it's middle-aged, according to computers.
Yeah, I guess that might be it.
Yeah. It might, you know, be like a bum knee or something. You know? Oh, my Bluetooth went out. Oh, God.
Bum Bluetooth, man.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, we'll see. Anybody out there want to come into the G+ community page if they've got any ideas? I look forward to reading those. So, Michael, you're next.
Yeah, so... I just noticed this feature this week, and I mean, obviously it's been there all along. I just never noticed it. But the new company MacBook, the 2015, it has Bluetooth interface built in, and as yours does. Mm-hmm. But it syncs up with everything a whole lot better than my older. The other three MacBooks I've got are all non-Bluetooth.
Okay.
But one feature I noticed this week in Overcast that I wasn't aware was there was I had been listening to, what was it I was listening to?
The Accidental Tech Podcast?
ATP? No.
Oh.
No.
Because that's
no.
Mark.
But I was.
That's his podcast.
Okay. But no. I was listening to one of the podcasts this week. I just don't remember what it was. As I was walking down the road to Saskatchewan to the office here. And as I walked into the room, I bumped the keyboard on the company Mac, and on the big screen showed up. And then on the lower left-hand corner of the screen, I had noticed before that if I had something up in Safari in my phone, there would be an icon in the lower left-hand corner of my screen. And if you click on that, it syncs with your phone and brings up what you were looking at on Safari on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Except this time, on the lower left-hand corner, it had an icon for Overcast. I went, really? Or I don't remember if the icon was actually Overcast, but the icon was on because I had Overcast on. So I clicked on it, and my MacBook synced up with Overcast in the place, in the program where I was listening to, and I was able to continue listening to the episode I was listening to on my MacBook via Safari.
I didn't know that feature was in there. On the Overcast page, website? You know, you go to the website and you can click in and you get your list of files. And,
it did it automatically, though.
Yes, it does. It does sync up with the Overcast webpage, which has the player. You know, it's a browser-based player that when you go to overcast.fm. Yes, it does, because I listen to podcasts on the way in, and sometimes I'm in the middle and I go into work and I bring up overcast.fm, and sure enough, it will start right where I left off listening in the car. Does it very well, too.
It's just like it's got that Netflix-type feel to it. It's just going to be from one device to the other.
Yes.
And the thing is, all I had to do was just one click on the screen, and bam, it brought it up automatically. I didn't have to go looking for it.
Yeah.
So, well done. Well done.
Yes. The more I use Overcast, the more I love it. it's just...
And I am a happy Patreon subscriber or whatever the model is. But
me too.
Darn well paid for it.
Me too. And I thank you for turning me back onto it, because I am so happy I'm using that now. It is my podcasting tool of choice, I guess, or listening device of choice. So Very good. And by the way, this probably goes down into entertainment last month, but I do want to give shout-outs to ATP, which is the Accidental Tech Podcast. If you're into Mac things, Apple things, if you like to hear just kind of somewhat gadgety talk, I know some people aren't into this, but Marcos, who I forget his last name right now. Yeah, quick, look it up, Michael. Overcast. He and two of his friends or colleagues do this Accidental Tech Podcast. Very good, very nice listening. The three talk about tech stuff. They go over all the Mac stuff. They just went over all the WWDC stuff. They talk about other geek stuff too, but they're mostly, because I think two of them are Apple developers or, you know, app developers and stuff. So they really get into it. It's a great show. If you like geeky tech podcasts, this one's a plus. Matter of fact, you can find, I used to listen to two or three different Mac, related or Apple related podcasts, and I'm really down to this one and, Mac OS Ken. Because he does the news, basically daily news, and it's short. And then I listen to these guys to get all the details and stuff. So check it out, ATP or the Accidental Tech Podcast.
Yeah, it's Marco Arment, by the way.
Yes, Marco Arment. Yeah.
And it's marco.org. Not that he's been doing this for a while.
Oh, yeah. That's
marco.org.
Yeah, and the Accidental Tech Podcast has been around for a long time. But I stumbled across it because I started using Overcast, and I was looking at their website, and I said, they do a podcast? So I started listening to it. So, all right. Which, let's see, where are we? We're down to Barty and Adam.
Yes. In the recent E3 conference, Microsoft announced two upcoming Xboxes. The first one that will be coming out first, is going to be 4K capable, which doesn't mean 4K games. It means it'll be doing 4K Netflix conflict and content and things like that. Scorpio will be coming out next year that'll be actually able to play 4K games. Adam, when is the first Xbox coming out?
It actually looks like it'll be multiple editions. Launch time, there'll be a special 2 terabyte, which is probably the best one to get into as everything's going more download, where you have to literally download your entire game disc onto your system before you can play it. So you have that one come out in August, and then right after you have a smaller 5 gigabyte and a 1 terabyte version dropping.
Wow.
All with brand new controllers, I might add.
Really?
Controllers that will make it easier for you to use your games across your Windows 10 computers and your Xbox One, Xbox One Slim, or Scorpio when it comes out.
Okay, so this is where they're really going to get into the cross-platform gaming, I guess, when these come out and people start upgrading to these and they upgrade Windows 10 some more, I guess.
Well, I guess before that, there is some cross-platform interplay between PS4 and Xbox One that's supposed to occur that's rocking. More based upon the software providers more than it is the hardware providers.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, because I never understood why, you know, you're playing the same game. Why can't you play it against, you know, other platforms?
Well, that's, you know, it's just like politics. I mean, the Republicans, even if they have the same thing as the Democrats, they're not going to let the players play the same things together. Hmm. You know, it's been the same kind of thing. You know, if you had a PlayStation game and an Xbox game, you don't want to let Xbox people play with PlayStation people. I mean, that was just wrong. You know, it was, you know, it's just like segregation in the electronic world, you know. That's mainly what it comes down to. Then nobody wants to share server access.
Yeah. There's actually a story about this early on with the days of the launch of Destiny. The game was supposed to be originally a multi-platform game across PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, but the rumor with it was that Microsoft didn't want cross-platform. And the makers of Destiny is a very good close friend of Microsoft, Bungie, makers of Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they decided that they were giving all exclusives to PlayStation for be willing to work with them instead of blocking. So that was a minor setback. Microsoft, for some reason, was against the multi-platform connection until just recently. In that game, I couldn't remember my senior moment earlier, it was called Rocket League. and that's the soccer game with cars. And it was available PlayStation 4 and Steam together. Now Xbox is on board with that, and they're able to play too.
Interesting.
Took me a while to remember what it was called. You know, I am getting older.
Bet you remembered it. Seeing the us old fogies would never remember it. We'd be stumbling about it and call it something different. Totally.
I'm convinced it was his coffee that helped him remember.
Yeah, there you go. I think the circle is I switched from the coffee to a good IPA.
There we go.
IPA.
That'll work too.
A local Utica, New York brew.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Hey, drink the beer in the region you're at.
That's right. So, all right. Well, Joel, any good diesel trucks out there while we were in Geek Corner?
Actually, I'm looking at Jeep Grand Cherokees right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you switched over. Well, we might as well get into Bottom Gear.
Welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel. And for once, I don't have a damn thing to add to this segment, but the boys do. Michael, please take it away.
Yeah, it looks like it's me so far, unless there's other ones in there. But first of all, Fred. Remember Fred? I've mentioned Fred a couple times. How many more times can I say Fred? There you go.
There we go.
Maybe I should name my tractor after him there. But anyhow, so my friend Fred, the diesel mechanic, has been doing some research. And as I was actually trying to zoom to the fire hall today to do a get the ambulance going, zooming to the fire hall is a relative term on 4th of July weekend. Fred had time to walk up next to my Jeep as I was zooming to the fire hall. Had me roll down my window as I was zooming down to the firewall. He's still walking. And I said, hey, I think I found a replacement assembly for your tractor for $68. Should I go ahead and buy it? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Now, this is just a replacement input shaft, coupler, spline shaft assembly, but absolutely. So I figured that's worth a $68 gamble. Yeah. So he's going to go and obtain that. We had time to talk about this as I was going to the fire hall. So,
this was your Jeep you were driving?
Yeah, no, it has to do with traffic.
Getting
people to get the F out of the way.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was...
I was managing... No, it had nothing to do with the ability of the Jeep to get there. It was the ability of... people on ATVs, mountain bikes,
walking
in the middle of the fire lane with their dog. it was just gridlock. And
I thought your Jeep was averaging about the same speed as a human being now.
No, it was trying to get through traffic to get to the station. But so anyhow, he is ordering the parts. It's still not a guarantee, but I'm willing to gamble $68 and another week of my time to put this tractor back together again, because that's what it's going to be, a week of my spare time to do this.
All right.
But cool. So we're going to get a definitive, we'll put this part in and decide whether the patient's going to live or whether I'm going to part it out on Craigslist and go find something else. Right. But I'm hoping I can fix this thing. It's been a good tractor. Yeah. It's been out of service way too long, though.
You have to shoot a video. You get it running. I want to see a video of it.
Yeah.
I'll do a time lapse of putting this thing all together. I think would be kind of cool.
That would be cool. Yeah,
if you want video tips, talk to Joel's beautiful bride. She's put out quite a number of awesome videos on Facebook.
Yeah, they're fun to watch.
Yeah, they're awesome to watch. Yeah. The goats. Yeah. I mean, like,
so,
she put videos of everything. But anyway, I digress.
So anything else between myself and the next subject here?
No.
I got nothing.
Okay, well, so this next one has to do with the family truckster. Hallelujah. Yeah, right on it there, Barry. So, yeah, the last couple of weeks, Chris went down to first visit the moms and then go to the farm to horse it. Blucher! And, Blucher!
Hang on! Where the hell is it?
Blucher! So, Chris was on the road for a few weeks. Okay. in June. And, you know, we'd taken care of everything we could have as best as the family budget would handle before she left. And on her way back, the day she's coming back, she stops at the gas station near where our farm used to be. And she said, brakes feel a little funny. Where do I check the brake fluid at? And I said, well, okay, well, you know, lift up the hood and look for the yellow cap. And it's right in front of the driver's side, and you should see a reservoir. So she did that, and she said, well, it's full. Oh. And brakes are working. They just feel kind of funny. I'm like, well, geez, okay, well, do you want to call the mechanic? No, I'll drive home like that. I'm like, just be careful. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I'm going to worry even more. Mm. Well, she gets home. And I look at the brake reservoir, and it's empty.
Ooh.
Not low. It's empty. And I said, I thought you said this was full. And she goes, well, that's not what I was looking at. And she pointed next to it, and I forgot that we have a hydraulic clutch in that truck.
Oh, God.
And yes, the hydraulic clutch reservoir was full. So I like, I wonder what's going on here. So I got the brake fluid, filled the reservoir up, hit the brakes, and saw a puddle under the rear differential. And I said, well, there's your problem. Wow. And as I walked around the truck, my wife said, oh, you probably want to see this too. And on the driver's side rear tire, she had worn all the way through the steel belt in one spot.
Oh,
while on the trip.
How?
So she was doing 7 miles an hour down the interstate with a tire. Apparently, the tire just reached into life. All of a sudden, bam, it went right through in one spot. All but, right. I mean, we're talking strands of steel belt hanging out.
Wow.
I'm like, I said, this was grounded. So,
wow.
She called the mechanic for an appointment for the brake line. Uh-huh. She called the truck tire place for two rear tires, which they gave her crap about because it's a four-wheel drive truck. And like, well, we can afford the two rear tires right now. Uh-huh. We'll do the other two front tires later.
Uh-huh.
And she takes it easily down the road to the tire place because the brake appointment's not until later in the week. I can't tell you how happy I am about that she is still going to drive the truck for a couple of days. But maybe fate had interceded because when she got to the tire place, now this is an hour from here,
mm-hmm.
She pulls in the lot and the guy who runs the tire shop said, you know, you got a puddle under the front of the truck.
Uh-oh.
What was that?
And they go out there, and it's dumping diesel on the ground from the engine.
Oh.
That's so she calls me up. No, she calls me up, and I said, is it like everywhere? She goes, yeah, it's sprayed under the engine. It's sprayed under the truck. It's even on the rear window, on the back bed of the truck. I said, if it was coming out under that much pressure, it was after the injection pump. So I'm thinking an injection line had sprung a leak.
Uh-huh.
She goes, is it safe to drive? And I said, no. That's what we have towing insurance for.
Right.
So the tire guys were nice enough to change the rear tires out in the parking lot. They weren't going to bring it into the shop that way.
Uh-huh.
The towing company came out, got the truck with a flatbed, because this is the Cummins diesel, hauled it up to our mechanic. And apparently this is a problem with the Cummins engine that is known, because there was actually an aftermarket fuel injector replacement line. Now these things are all, you know, two size with all the bends and brackets and everything in place on them.
Yeah.
So for an aftermarket company to actually go through the trouble to make one means that this was a known problem. So in one fell swoop, two tires, a brake line, and an injector line. But all of that could have happened while she was on the road.
Right. So I'm
very thankful that the family truckster got her home safe, and then it went, okay, medic!
Jeez. I mean, wow. Yeah, especially the brakes.
Pretty major issues.
Yeah.
She drove home almost 400 miles on an empty brake reservoir.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is.
Huh.
But it's all fixed now.
It's all fixed now. It's all good.
I'm just going to take David's Jeep to Sault Ste. Marie at an amble. I'm going to give myself plenty of time to get. It's the longest trip this thing has taken in probably 10 years.
Well.
Jeez.
Yes. Carefully. Carefully. You're running out of a. Well, no. The truck's fixed now. So you're good. You got at least one good. Maybe you got two good vehicles.
Well, David's Jeep and the truck. And the black Jeep keeps running.
It won't die.
I mean, it looks like one of those cartoon vehicles that you expect all four wheels just to fall off, you know, and fenders and stuff to fall off at any time. But it keeps running.
It's the zombie Jeep.
It is.
Zombie Jeep, yes. The Jeep apocalypse.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it just goes slowly down the road after you. Not too fast, not too slow, just, you know, steady.
Fuel.
All right. Well, is that it? Does everybody got?
That is it.
Yep.
All right. Well, then let's go into entertainment last month. Welcome to Entertainment Last Month. This is where we talk about shows that are old, but they're new to us. And so I'll start off with, I started watching on a Netflix, no, sorry, Acorn, which is all British shows. I found a documentary called Britain's Bloodiest Dynasty, or as they say, Dynasty. And it's all about the Plantagenets, which started with Henry II and went through Richard II and Richard III and some more Henrys and some other things in there. But it was quite good. I mean, it taught you history, but yet there was good acting involved in it. So it was a narration, but they acted, you know, a combination of narration and acting. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. So much that it was a 5-part series. I watched 4 in a row. The only reason I didn't watch the 5th one is because it's not available in this area yet. Which I haven't tried to pop up on a VPN over in Britain to see if I can access it. Anyway. So I recommend it. It was good. And I don't know that much about British history. And this was... It was fascinating to me. And... gory at the same time. It was kind of like a realistic Game of Thrones. I guess I'm next on the next one, too. I just wanted to make a note that Dark Matter Season 2 started. And I already watched the first episode. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Oh, man. Adam and I are both excited about Dark Matter.
Yeah.
Adam and I were talking about it today, and I was happy to find out that he enjoys Dark Matter.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually very happy to he talking about coming to the podcast tonight and looking at the notes and seeing that it was back, because I got into it through Netflix, and everything I could find in at the time was looking like it was canceled, and I was extremely bummed because it was such a great show. So you guys made my night tonight. Awesome. Yeah.
I think it started last night, actually, because it was on Sci-Fi. It's up on Sci-Fi, so I'm sure they're going to replay it. But what I found surprising is, man, I mean, it played last night, and it came up on the Magic Antenna. And I actually watched it last night off the Magic Antenna. And, it was good. I'm getting back into Dark Matter. It's a fun show.
My beautiful bride and I love watching that show. Yeah. You know what's funny? She also got into Defiance.
Mm-hmm.
I finally quit calling it Deliverance. I remember all those times. But anyway, she asked me, what is that show you keep watching all the time? You know, all the creepy people in it. I says, well, which one? Because, you know, And she was talking about the one that's in St. Louis. So I said, oh, you mean Defiance?
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, would you mind watching those episodes again? Because I'd like to get into that. So we marathoned Defiance across a 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
And watched all of season one and got into season two.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like, I tell you what, we are really totally fed up with watching all these miscellaneous races. We needed a break. By the time that was done, we were like, okay, we don't want to see these people anymore. So it's good to hear that Dark Matter's coming back,
yeah,
because we want to see something different for a change, and we'll get back to it with the Defiance later when we kind of recover a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, real quick here before we go to Michael, I've got to say that, of course, since our last podcast, Game of Thrones had its season finale. So, going through withdrawal for another year. And and also, Silicon Valley had its final season finale. And, actually, Veep had its season finale. So, three HBO shows I watch all had season finales. And on to the Sci-Fi stuff right now. So Michael.
Yeah. Sorry, excuse me. So another Netflix suggestion this episode. This time I'm continuing the World War II theme. And look for The Last Heroes.
Okay.
This is a series of episodes on D-Day, Battle of the Bulge, the final assault on Berlin, interviews with actual soldiers that were there.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, really, really well done. I think a good tribute to the men that served, and I think they pretty universally all said, we were just there doing our jobs, the heroes are the ones that didn't come back. But I think it was very well done. Highly recommend it if you want to learn that part of the history.
Definitely. I'm gonna tune into it. I'm back into doing Netflix stuff again, so that's good. I'm finally back on watching... what the hell is it called? Breaking Bad. I had started watching it. I got up at about halfway through season two, and somehow I got distracted. Now I'm back watching it because, you know, I know it's an old show, but I haven't seen it all the way through. So I'm watching that. And the Trailer Park Boys are now produced by Netflix. So there's a new season out there of the Trailer Park Boys if you're interested. I don't know whether I mentioned that last time or not, but I hadn't even realized that Netflix took it over, and I was glad to see it there. It's like watching a car wreck. It's funny as hell. All right. Anybody else got any entertainment stuff? No? Once? Twice?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for show 216. We do have a musical guest. We're going to do the final and last tribute to Harry Nilsson and his song, You're Breaking My Heart, which... It's not work safe. I'll put it that way. But there was I watched a Harry Nilsson documentary, and a little funny thing about the song was, of course, there was several people. Well, you know, Harry died, and at his funeral, there was I think it was Ringo Starr. I don't know whether I think George Harrison was there. I think this is before he passed away. And a couple other people in the music business and everything, and they were kind of lagging behind after the graveside ceremony, and the casket was basically being lowered into the ground, and all of a sudden one of the guys started humming the song, and then next thing you knew the other guys started humming the song with him, and then they started singing the words, and they all started busted out cracking up and laughing, and they said this is the way Harry would want it, you know. But it's just a little story that goes along with this song, and I think you'll appreciate this song. So I think that's it. Once again, for the military people out there, Konus and Okonus, thank you for what you're doing, and especially you Okonus guys, please be safe out there, And we hope you get home to your families and friends real soon. Until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And from central New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from central New York, this is Barty.
And Adam, Barty's son.
And from Studio V, where it is still light outside. Jeez. Twilight, past sunset, yeah. But still twilight. This is Michael, the virtual Uper.
Okay, that's it for show 216, and here's Harry Nielsen.
You're breaking my heart, you're tearing it apart, so fuck you. All I wanna do is have a good time, now I'm blue. You want boogaloo, run down to tramps, have a dance or two. Ooh, you're breaking my heart, you're tearing it apart, but fuck you. You're breaking my heart, you're tearing it apart. Ooh, you stepped on my ass, you're breaking my glasses too. You wanna drive my car, might out of stop. I've had enough of you. Ooh, I'm going insane, there's no one to blame, so fuck you.
Samson, speak! Good boy.